Sorry there. It's not hard to see that the world that we live in, no matter how hard, is actually completely messed up, completely messed up. Sure, there are good things happening in our world, but the truth being told is that it's actually a completely messed up world, isn't it? No matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, it seems there's very little that we can do to solve the problems of our world. We've had our massive bushfires that was headline news throughout the world. We've had droughts that have gone on for years and ravaged our lands. And of course, more recently, we've had the pandemic, which is not only just the talk of our nation, but the talk of the world. And whereas the bushfires affected our nation and was talked about the whole world, the pandemic is not just affecting our nation, but the whole world. And as Jeremy rightly pointed out at the very beginning, we're seeing the world just turn upside down because of this pandemic. Shops have closed, businesses have closed up, the airline industry has come to a standing halt, and the unemployment rate will actually spike in very significant ways, causing untold suffering to many, many people. Homelessness will be a rising problem for many of our cities. And so it's not surprising that all the energy now is just focused on trying to solve, find that vaccine to cure us of this coronavirus, trying to find a vaccine that will actually kill that virus. But the funny thing about Good Friday is that while the world is talking about the virus, churches throughout the world want to stop and actually talk about something else. They want to talk an event which is even greater still than the virus itself. An event that happened 2,000 years ago that actually brings good news to a world that is desperately looking for good news. The event that happened 2,000 years ago in a small city town in the backwaters of the mighty Roman Empire is an event that continues to be talked about for thousands of years, talked about throughout this world, and has brought incredible joy to so many people, transforming lives. Obviously, we're talking about the death of the Lord Jesus, the man Jesus Christ who walked the earth 2,000 years ago. But what was it about this particular man? What was it about him that has been the talk of not only the town, but of the nations and of the world for so many centuries and millennium indeed? What is it that he did? What is it that he said that has transformed the lives and actually addresses the questions and the issues and the challenges that we face even today, 2,000 years later? Well, he said these very important words 2,000 years ago. Let's have a look at what these words. In these words, these were words that he actually spoke many years ago. Let me read out to you the words that he actually said to us. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's a couple of things, important things that Jesus highlights for us here. One of those sorts of things that he highlights. Firstly, notice what he says here, that he came. That's an important thing. He actually came. The Son of Man did not come. And the point there is how it's highlighted that when Jesus came to this world, he came with that particular purpose. And that's an important thing for us to think about, right? Because when you think about it, if you were to ask people, what is the purpose of your life? Well, people are scratching around trying to look for meaning and purpose in life. But you ask people, what were you born for? And they'll scratch their head. Well, what do you mean, what was I born for? My birth was just happened. My parents had a good time one day, and then I happened. But you ask people, what were you born for? they'll scratch their heads and say, I'm not sure what you're talking about. In contrast to that is the man Jesus Christ. He actually says that his life has purpose and meaning. It's not simply that he tried to find it, but his whole life was built around a particular purpose. He came into this world with a particular mission in mind. He was born for a particular purpose. Unlike so many of us, where our life just happens, for Jesus, his life had meaning and purpose. He had a mission in life, a mission that spanned from the day he was born to the day he died himself. Notice what he says. What is the purpose for which he was born? Notice what it says here. He was born to serve. Now, that's quite counterintuitive when you think about it. Because the truth of the matter is that for most of us, we think in terms of life as being one here to serve us. But Jesus says here, I did not come to be served, rather I came to serve. That is to say that the whole of Jesus' life was built on this one purpose, to serve us. Unlike so many of us, everything is designed to serve us. From the advertising, we are looking for advertising that will appeal to us, that will serve us. We're looking for jobs that will actually appeal to us, that will serve us. We're looking for relationships that will appeal to us, that will serve us. But in contrast to Jesus, what did he do? He came to serve others, not to be served. Well, what does it mean for that he came to serve others rather than to be served? Well, notice what he says here. He says that he came to give his life. He came to give his life. Now, when you think about it, right? History is filled with people who've given their lives in the service of others. We can think of people, great ones like Nelson Mandela, who was in prison for many, many decades in his fight against apartheid. Jesus is one of a long line of great men and women who've given their lives in the service of others. But Jesus wants to say that his service of others was actually very unique and very different. How so? Because notice what Jesus says here. He gave his life as a ransom. That's very different. You see, when other people gave up their lives for the service of others, they gave their lives as a martyr for a great cause. They might have given up their livelihood. They might have given up, made a lot of great sacrifice. They set themselves as an example to serve others, as an inspiration for others to follow. But Jesus wants to say that he came to serve others by giving up his life in a very different and unique way. He came to give his life as a ransom. Now, what does it mean when Jesus says he gave his life as a ransom? Well, ransom is the idea of a payment to get someone out of trouble. And what Jesus is actually saying here is he came to be a ransom to get people out of trouble. What was the trouble that we find ourselves in? Well, when you read through the rest of Scripture, the Bible tells us that the trouble that we find ourselves in is that we have rebelled against God. We have waved our fist against God. We want to run our own life, our own way. And what's the consequence of that? We have made a complete mess of the world that we live in. We've made a complete mess of the relationships that we have. And we've even made a complete mess of our own lives. And the consequence of that is that God is angry. He's angry with the way we have actually messed up his world, messed up our lives, and the way we have just defied him. He's angry. And not surprisingly, because of that, we live in a very broken and fractured world. And in many ways, what you see is that the droughts that we've experienced in Australia and the floods and the fires and even this pandemic that we're going through is in many ways an expression not only of the mess that we've created for ourselves, but of God's anger on the whole world. And yet Jesus says here, I came as a ransom. I came as a ransom to get us out of trouble. But the other thing about a ransom is that not only is a payment to get people out of trouble, the idea of a ransom is this idea of a substitute. And so what Jesus is saying here, that not only did I come to get people out of trouble, more specifically out of the, from the judgment of God, to rescue them from the judgment of God, he also came to be a substitute. That is to say, he himself stepped into our shoes and accepted the punishment that was rightly due on us. So on this Good Friday, as we reflect and remember what happened to Jesus, when he was arrested, you could say he was being arrested in our place because we were the one who were guilty. When he was actually tortured by his persecutors, he was doing that in our place because we were the ones who should have suffered there. And when he was being hung up there on a cross, it should have been us being there hung on a cross, but instead he hung on that cross in our place. And why? To rescue us from God's judgment upon the world and to rescue us from God's anger against us. You see, as we celebrate Good Friday, the world is talking about a pandemic and they're desperately looking for a solution and they're desperately looking for a cure. But Good Friday tells us a different message. It tells us that the greatest problem that man faces is not a virus. The greatest problem that man faces is death itself. But even more accurately and more specifically, the greatest problem that man faces is the judgment that awaits all men, young and old, right across the world, across all history. Everyone stands in the judgment of God. And Jesus came to rescue us from that judgment. You know, it's a funny thing at this time. People are looking for a vaccine to cure us from a virus. What's so problematic about the virus? It actually brings death. That's why it's scary. But here's the funny thing. Even if we were to find a cure for the virus, you know what else would happen? People would still die. People would still die. We might be cured from the virus, but it won't be long that people still die of cancer, or road accidents, or violence, and so on, whatever. Jesus comes to cure us from the greater problem of death and God's judgment. And he died in our place to secure for us life eternal. And how do we know that Jesus actually succeeded in what he did? Well, how do you know a vaccine actually works? You know a vaccine actually works when a person's cured from the virus. How do we know that Jesus actually cured us or conquered death for us? Very simply, 3 days later, we discover and we hear the news that Jesus actually rose from the dead. And so this Good Sunday, you could say, this Easter Sunday, we will actually celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus when he actually displays once and for all that he has actually conquered death. As I said at the beginning, and as Jeremy rightly pointed out for us, Good Friday is a strange day because the whole world is talking about a pandemic. But we want to say that there's hope even in this time of crisis. But there's hope in the place of death. There is hope in the place of the death of Jesus. For in his death, we find life. In his death, we find salvation from the judgment of God. Let me just pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks that in the death of Jesus, we can find life. We know that we are in a crisis as we face a terrible pandemic that is sweeping the world. But we give you thanks for the news of Jesus' death and his resurrection, that in his death and his resurrection, he conquers death and he reconciles us back to you. Amen.
Today we remember how Jesus' perfect sacrifice on the cross has satisfied the wrath of God and rescued us from his anger. Our hope comes from the confidence of being counted amongst his friends as we wait for the renewal of all things, the glorious future to come when everything will be made perfect and suffering will be no more. And so we stand steadfast with thanks in our hearts through uncertainty, suffering, and death as we put our trust in Christ.
Of Calvary, you, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin, Jesus.
Well, hello, CCC. We really are living in the most unprecedented crisis in our world, unlike any other in our lifetime. And in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic, the world is desperately looking for a cure and for hope. Reverend Ying today has reminded us that it is through the death of one man that the message and the power of hope was sent out to the world, because Jesus rescued us from God's judgment by dying on the cross. So whilst the world hides in fear from death, us Christians celebrate Easter. Now we remember that Jesus died, but he did not stay dead. And on Sunday, in a couple of days, we're actually going to be spending time reflecting on the good news that Jesus is not dead, but rose again to life. And so I'll just take this opportunity to remind all of you there that our Easter Sunday service will start at 10 a.m. again on Zoom. Well, I'd like to also remember to welcome all the visitors here today and newcomers. And usually after church services, we would get the opportunity to hang around afterwards and chat and meet people we don't know. But obviously we can't do that so easily with Zoom. So after Reverend Ying closes with the benediction, we're going to provide an opportunity to talk with some other people in some smaller breakout groups. These breakout groups hopefully will give us a similar opportunity of hanging around and chatting. The breakout groups will last for about 10 minutes, but you are all free to leave the meeting at any time if you'd prefer. So thank you for joining us with us today on our Good Friday service via Zoom, and we'll see you all on Easter Sunday at 10 a.m. So over to you, Reverend Ying.
Let's close our Easter service, Good Friday Easter service, with a benediction. Let me pray. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us, both now and forever. Amen. Let me say again, thank you for coming and to our Good Friday service. If you'd like to stay around and join our breakout groups, great. If you feel it's time to leave, that's fine. We hope to see you on Sunday. Take care.